Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. What's going on in America in energy? My God, it's been now almost six months since President Biden has taken over. There's been vast changes, for the good or for the bad. And with us today is Scott Pruitt. Scott Pruitt was served as Attorney General of Oklahoma. And then in President Trump's administration, he served as Administrator for the Environmental Protection Agency and knows the energy business real well. Good morning, Scott Pruitt. How are you?
John, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
I am doing good. I just want to make sure the American people are doing good. Since you left office at the EPA, gasoline has gone from $2 a gallon to $3.50 a gallon.
Yeah, John, and I'll tell you, I mean, the last administration did all that we could to make us more independent, you know, to make us not reliant upon Europe and the Mideast with respect to how we do energy in this country, and now we're becoming more dependent. And so it's always a different view, you know, with Democrat administrations versus Republican administrations. Republicans believe that energy is a gift to this country and we should take advantage of it and use it, obviously with good stewardship in mind. But we should do so for the American people with more jobs and lower energy costs and resiliency as far as the power grid. All those things are at risk right now. We see blackouts in Texas in February during winter months. We see, you know, even calls during the summer with the temperature rising of the same type with the power grid. We see higher gas prices and, again, more dependence upon what's going on with OPEC and Europe. And so it's really disappointing to see in such a short time that this particular administration has done more to unravel and change direction with respect to Americans having control over their own destiny with respect to energy and as opposed to them being more dependent upon people they don't know and they can't see and they can't touch.
Well, under President Trump's administration, we had 14 million barrels a day in production. I think we're down to 12 now. I'm not sure. Something like that.
And again, it's not because, I mean, John, what was so exciting during the last 4 years was you saw independents, you know, gas producers and folks in the energy sector generally that were, you know, growing and expanding and hiring people and providing low energy costs, both for electricity as well as, you know, gasoline. And now you see the opposite of that. And so, I mean, it shouldn't be surprising, you know, to anyone at this juncture. And I think in times, you know, we think that things might be different and maybe they'll do things much more, you know, reasonable or whatnot. And that's just not the case. I mean, this administration, you know, you can't be for big government, you know, big taxes and big bureaucracy and be for the little guy. And that's exactly what this administration is. They're for big government, they're for big taxes, and they're for big bureaucracy. And you can't go out and trump that and advance that at the same time as saying you're for the little guy.
And we did lose the pipeline, and I still don't understand how the President Biden authorized the Russian pipeline. I mean, if President Trump would have authorized the Russian pipeline, I guess they would have hung him for treason.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, again, it's this approach that's so inconsistent, so hypocritical, you know, of saying no at home, you know, to the American people and saying yes to those people that don't even, you know, that you don't serve, that aren't American people. And for the betterment of Europe, the answer was yes. And for the worse for Americans, the answer was no. And so it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It creates instability. It creates uncertainty. It creates higher gas prices. And it's just hypocritical and inconsistent.
The other concern I have, the administration is pushing electric cars. And electric cars are run by batteries that are 90% made by China. And then most of those precious metals that make those batteries are Afghanistan. And we just left Afghanistan and China may take over the whole thing.
Yeah, John, I mean, I think that, look, I mean, with all the marketing, with all the tax incentives, with all the government subsidies that we've seen put, you know, behind electric vehicles over, you know, multiple years and multiple administrations, candidly, it still only represents, you know, less than 3% of the entire market as it relates to, you know, consumers. And consumers have spoken loud and clear. You know, they believe that electric vehicles should be, a, you know, an option. you know, that they should obviously complement and supplement the choices that consumers and Americans have as far as driving and use of a vehicle. But to try to abandon, the auto industry abandoning, you know, SUVs and vehicles that have driven, you know, the economy in this country, both from a manufacturing perspective, but also a dealer perspective and the consumer demand and choice, to think that that's somehow just going to magically change in the next 5 or so years and everybody's going to be driving an electrical vehicle when the infrastructure is not even there. And there are limitations, as you know, John, physics, laws of physics limitations that will forever impact people's ability to transport themselves from coast to coast if they want to drive a car across the country. And so it's just not, you know, in my view, you know, you continue to see this advancement by government to force, you know, consumers to adopt that which they believe. It's paternalistic. I mean, it's not allowing the market and the economy to drive what should occur. It's government telling consumers what they can and cannot choose and what they can and cannot consume. And the same is true in the energy sector with respect to the power grid. I mean, we're getting to country where you're going to have utility companies that are going to come in and monitoring as far as use and determine that your thermostat should be set at a certain degree at certain times during the day. It's already happening in these areas of the country where there are challenges as far as providing consistent electricity. Because as you know, John, I mean, before this administration, before the Obama administration, oil, natural gas, and coal represented over 80% of how we generate electricity on the power grid. And today that is, you know, that's probably in the 50 to 60 range. And so we continue to see, you know, a reduction of resiliency and reliability. Those baseload fuels that have always been there to ensure that we have access to power when we need it. And we're replacing it with intermittent power, wind and solar, that when the sun's not shining, the wind's not blowing, we can't store that power. And as such, that power grid is what? Vulnerable. And it prevents us from having the reliability to grow an economy, to produce steel, to manufacture and to heat and cool our homes. And so all these things have consequences. And this administration is telling the American people, again, we're about big government. We're about big bureaucracy. We're about big taxes. And we're about all those things. And I just don't believe, John, that if you're for all those things, that you can be for that small business employer, you know, that you know. This whole tax code that's being produced, you know, 4,000 or less, you know, no tax increases. Well, how many small businesses, John, do you know out there that are in New York City or across this country that are working hard to make $500,000 a year? And what's going to happen to those folks? They're going to get taxed at the same rate that Exxon's getting taxed at. You know, so it makes no sense whatsoever.
Now, in addition, the high energy prices is hurting the consumer. I mean, like we said before, gasoline has gone from $2 to $3.5 a gallon, and it's leading to higher food prices, higher inflation, higher everything, because everything is transportation.
And then when you combine that, John, with the spending, I mean, a $1.3 trillion infrastructure package, a proposed spending on the back end, as you know, the White House, along with certain individuals in Congress are voting, emphasizing the package of what, $3 to $5 trillion on top of that. That's on top of the pandemic spending in the trillions of dollars. I mean, there are consequences to these things, and you can't just simply spend in a profligate way, and think that you can tax to take advantage of it, because it's going to slow and kill the economy in that regard. And so the growth that we've seen, I mean, with respect to the economy, largely has been based upon what? This injection of liquidity into the markets. But that can't just continue ad infinitum. At some point, you've got to have real jobs created by real businesses and consumers, and the consumer mentality driving that. With high inflation, that's going to be a problem.
We got about a minute left. Anything you want to tell the American people?
Look, I mean, I think we live in a very strategic time, and the question that Reagan asked when he ran in the 1980s, and the question that's always been out there with respect to how government operates, are we going to have a mindset that says we want government to be central? We want government to be our decision maker. We want government to be telling us, you know, what we should drive, how we should power homes, what we should keep our homes cooled and heated at, Do we want that type of relationship with our government, or do we want more freedom? Do we want the ability to be self-determined and independent? Now, with that comes risk, as you know, John, but American people have always been about liberty and freedom and risk being rewarded. And we're living in a country today, we're being told by those in Washington, D.C., that risk is no longer going to be rewarded. In fact, success is going to be punished, and it's going to be punished all the way down to people that are making over $400,000. I'm just very concerned, you know, that when you see small businesses across this country, those entrepreneurs that are out there driving an economy, those folks are going to be disheartened, you know, when they're paying the same tax rate that Exxon's paying. And, you know, the best thing we could do, John, let's just do it. Let's just shoot 20% flat across the board. That'd be a huge tax increase for the large companies, as you know, and a huge tax decrease for most everybody else. We need to simplify these things and empower the American people and believe once again that we should be independent, you know, from an energy perspective and from the manufacturing perspective. And let's drive, you know the economy in the right way. And that's what we learned the last 4 years. And that's where we've been historically as a Republican Party and a conservative movement. That's at risk right now. And the American people need to understand that.
Scott Pruitt, thank you for everything you've done for America. Continue to work towards America. And let's catch up again real soon.
Thanks, John. Have a good one.
This is the Catch Roundtable. We'll be right back.